You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Winston Moore has been making fishing history for more than 80 years. In that time, he's developed new techniques for catching trout, and he remembers a time when he'd be the only fisherman on miles and miles of beach. The 95-year-old moved to Idaho as a young man because of the fishing, and he never left. And since then, he has made a lifetime of impacts on the fishing world. And he's giving a talk Thursday evening in Boise. Winston has been kind enough to join us on the phone. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
So my first question for you, fishing has been a huge part of your life. I mean, we're talking for decades and decades. What is your earliest memory of the sport?
Oh, I guess my earliest memory is when I was 4 years old. My father put me on a horse in front of him, and we rode for 9 hours on the east slope of the High Sierras to get to a fishing camp called the Golden Trout Camp, and that would have been in 1928 or 29.
And, you know, a lot of people, when they pick up a lifetime activity like this because of a loved one, and as you mentioned, you know, your first memory is with your dad. Was that part of what drew you to this lifetime sport?
I became unconditionally hooked, so to speak, on the outdoors, fishing, bird hunting, hunting dogs. But when I was 4 years old, obviously, that was my first introduction. And the Golden Trout Camp, which is where we went on that 9-hour horseback ride. I was there every year for probably 15 years, and I ended up actually working there as a youngster, wrangling horses and being a boy guide, and et cetera. And that was out of on the east slope of the High Sierras, out of a little town called Lone Pine, California.
And when you were younger, didn't you figure out a way to catch golden trout? Can you tell us about that?
That's what this was. This was a place called Golden Trout Camp.
Mm.
And there were 8 or 10 lakes up there above timberline up in the rocks. All they had were golden trout. And golden trout were quite rare. They still are today. And I was an all-around helper on this camp. The two people that owned it, Claire and Clarence Towler, kind of took me under their wing. I was their surrogate son. And I was responsible for wrangling the horses, guiding the guests, showing them how to fish, keeping all the facilities in firewood and fresh water. And I was just an all-around gopher.
And then you came to Idaho because of the fishing. So what made
you... Oh, you know, actually, I came here because of the pheasant hunting.
Oh, pheasant hunting, fishing, you know.
Yeah, right. It's all the outdoors.
And what made you decide to stay then?
What made me decide to stay here?
Yes.
Well, I was born in Southern California. That's where I grew up. And I became enamored and almost addicted to the outdoors. But even then, now this would have been I was married in 1950, and I told my wife, there's no way I'm going to stay in Southern California. I need to get out of here. I could see what was happening to Southern California. And so when we came up here on a pheasant hunting vacation, I literally fell in love with the Boise, with the Treasure Valley. The population of Boise at the time was about 30,000. There were pheasants and ducks and just hunting and fishing galore. So we moved. I didn't have any money. I didn't know anybody here. We just came up here and started from scratch. And that's one of the greatest things that God has ever done for me, is helped me to find Boise, Idaho.
And in fact, you say you remember a time here in Idaho where fish stocks weren't regulated. In fact, there were just, what, tons of fishing game to go around? Is that a true statement?
Well, I don't think it's true at all. It wasn't regulated. No, there's always been a fish and game department. But anybody who's listening to this is a fly fisherman, knows about the South Fork of the Boise River. And I had, believe it or not, I had the South Fork of the Boise River all to myself in those days. Nobody was fishing it. And it was some of the finest dry fly fishing for native rainbow trout in the country, including Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and so on. It was just an absolute dream come true. And, of course, there were pheasants here in those days by the hundreds of thousands. And we were on the main flyway for the migratory waterfowl. I am going to give this talk Thursday evening, I think it is, at the St. Alphonsus McCleary Auditorium. It'll be the third time I've done it. And it will be pretty much focused on the old days here, what it used to be like. And then I was a pioneer in saltwater fly fishing, and I'll be talking about that quite a bit.
So tell me a little bit about that, because this is a huge contribution that you made when it comes to fishing techniques. So that saltwater fishing, how has it changed in the decades that you have been an angler?
Saltwater fishing is what they call flats fishing, which is really shallow water, and you're fishing for three species of game fish, bonefish, tarpon, and a fish called a permit, just like a permit, only accent is on the first syllable. And nobody was doing it in those days. This goes clear back to the late 50s, early 60s. And I became really addicted to it. And I could talk to you for 45 minutes until you fell asleep. There's so much to it. But we kind of pioneered it. Learned how to do it. Nobody was doing it. And today it's one of those popular sports in the United States is fly fishing in salt water.
Well, what's it like when you see other anglers using some of these techniques that you helped develop?
I don't understand the question. What was it like?
What is it like to see when you see other anglers using some of the techniques that you helped create?
Yeah, when I started, this will be the third time I've given this talk. The first was 10 years ago. Nobody, in this area at least, was fishing salt water. And in fact, I perfected a technique to fish for billfish, sailfish, and marlin with a fly rod. And everybody thought that was crazy. Today, there are a lot of people doing it, and they're using the technique and the flies and so on that I, over trial and error over several years, came to create this technique that is used today.
Well, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your morning to talk with us, Winston. We've been speaking with 95-year-old Winston Moore ahead of his Thursday evening lecture in Boise. It will be at 7 p.m. in the McCleary Auditorium at St. Alphonsus. That's on Curtis Road in Boise. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.